People.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL FM is proud to present
Don't You Know?
Now, here with everything Winona, here's Terry Tenseth.
Oh, don't you know?
At the base of the bluff where Sugarloaf sits in Winona, Minnesota, is an old building with a lot of history. When you drive the short, steep slope up to Sugarloaf Antiques and Crafts, the first thing you see as you reach the top is a large structure made of limestone and painted a bold brick red. Off to the right, one section of the building is longer than the other and about 3 floors high. The section to the left is 5 floors high and resembles a tower in comparison to the rest of the structure. Inside the building are 3 caves that made this location perfect for a brewery. Today we visit the building with Mark Zimmerman, the owner who used to work at the site when it was used for brewing beer. Mark will take us on an adventure through the caves and other parts of the building, telling us the history behind the rooms. This is Don't You Know, and you're learning the history of the Old Boobs Brewery. I'm here with Mark Zimmerman. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Mark, good morning to you, and you're going to tell us the history. Now, what's the official name for the building?
Right now it's Sugarloaf Antiques, and then we also have Sugarloaf Furniture in the other building.
What was it originally called when it was first built?
Originally, it was Boob's Brewery. It started way back in 1860. This property was bought by a man by the name of Wiseboard. He had a brewery in East Burns Valley, and he outgrew his buildings there, and he came here and started this brewery.
How long was that in operation for?
The brewery was in operation from 1862 till 1967.
So that's 100 years.
Yes.
Wow. Back in 1970, Jacob Wiseboard hired a man by the name of Peter Boob, who had worked as a brewmaster in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for Blatt's. The passing of Jacob occurred the same year, but Peter kept running the operation. 2 years later, a fire broke out, but this did not deter Peter from his passion. He bought the building from Jacob's widow and rebuilt the structure with some additions. Peter Boob died in 1911, and his son-in-law stepped up and took over running the business and renamed it Sugarloaf Brewery. The brewery stayed in existence under different managers until it closed its doors in 1967. Why this location?
Because of the hill, and also at that time they built caves into the hill to age and keep the beer cool.
And how long did it take them to dig that out?
I'm not sure. The caves were hand dug, and we will walk through the caves so you can get an idea. There is 5,000 square feet of cave area.
Okay, that's pretty big. So you have lots of storage space for cool things.
Yes.
That's what you need. Okay. What do you think is the most interesting thing about the building, how it's changed over the years? What are your favorite stories about this place?
I did work here in the 50s, and so the building has a lot of meaning to me. I enjoy old building. This is the second property, historic property, that I've owned and have done something with.
So this is something you were like, hey, maybe someday I can have the Old Boobs Brewing Company building? Is that what you were thinking back then?
Not at that time. About 1970, I started thinking about it, and we purchased the property in 1980.
Was it already an antique store in the 1980s, or did you turn it into an antique store?
Prior to us purchasing it, it had been a Mexican store. They sold Mexican merchandise, retail and wholesale. That had operated for about 5 years, and then it closed. When we bought the property, it had been vacant for several years, was in very bad shape. It rained as hard inside as it did outside.
No.
So we've completely redone the building. What is left of the old building is the outside stone walls.
Okay.
The inside has been all replaced, and also the roof is all new.
And the caves, though, are original.
Right. Yes, caves are original.
Question for you, how much beer were they making a day, do you know? Or how many barrels would that hold?
It held a lot of beer, and I'm not exactly sure of the exact amount. I think we were producing about 150 barrels a day.
Wow.
In the 50s.
Now, was that of one variety or several varieties?
There was about 5 or 6 different varieties.
Did you have a favorite?
Well, there was one main beer that they produced the most of, and then they had seasonal beers.
You transformed it after it was a Mexican supply store, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And were there any surprises or things that you found along the way?
Not really. Everything had been removed from the building before we bought the property. There were no beer relics here or anything like that. All the equipment had been removed.
You want me to go ahead and take a look?
All right.
Right off the first floor, we enter Cave Number 1. It is painted white and used to showcase antiques and crafts. The room is about 7 feet tall, 15 feet wide, with the width increasing the further you go back, and around 50 to 60 feet long.
This is one of the cave areas, and this area is where they put the beer into kegs, and then the kegs were stored. That was quite a process. Now those things are all done automatically.
Yeah.
Back then it was a lot of handwork.
And you can attest to that.
Yes.
We walk and travel down a few steps through a doorway cut from the limestone into the next cave, which is about 20 feet wide, 60 feet long, and 9 to 10 feet high, with the height varying throughout. The cave is the color of the natural limestone it is made from.
This cave was lined with huge drums where they kept the beer in. Each one of those held 150 to 200 barrels of beer. And there was two rows, one on each side here.
It's huge.
This was the first area where the beer went into when it came into the cave. And it stayed in here about a week, and then it was moved to the back cave area.
Oh, okay, so it was like a process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adjoined to Cave Number 2 is a small section that forms like the base of the letter L.
This area here is where all the pumps were for the beer. The beer was pumped from here to the different tanks. And then after it was aged, the pumps pumped it into the bottle house where it was bottled.
We walk through a cut doorway to find the third and final cave, this one vastly larger than the others.
I'm sorry, the lights aren't working.
Oh, no. Well, it sounds huge.
Yeah. There are two rooms. This area goes back further than the other cave you were in. This was the aging area, and the beer stayed in here for about 3 weeks. It took about a month to age the beer.
My eyes are adjusting to the dark right now. Yeah. And how deep would you say this room is?
This is 100 feet long.
Okay. I think I can see the back, kind of, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Wow.
When you go to the back end of this cave, you're 80 feet underground. These were all dug out by hand. In fact, you can see the pick marks on the wall.
While looking around, my eyes glance up to the ceiling of the cave, and I see a large circular indentation with what looks like holes drilled inside.
Now, these round things...
These were air vents that went up. This one is closed. There is one air vent on the back end of this cave that is still open.
Now, you had the air vents for the safety of the workers, was it?
It was to circulate the air. I'm not a chemist, so I'm not sure all the reasoning for it, but I would assume some of it was for the safety, yes. But now the caves are all used, the two of them here are used for display of antiques. We get a lot of good comments from people, especially tourists traveling through. They're amazed at the building, and the caves are a big attraction.
We walk out of the caves up a slight slope to the main floor of the building.
Boop still has their own beer.
Yes, and in the downtown area there is the Boob's Bar and Restaurant.
Right.
And they do sell, and they own the Boob's label.
There were rumors that this was going to go into a restaurant in 2007.
We were trying to put it back into a brewery, a regional brewery. It just didn't work out.
You think you might try that again?
If I got the right person, the right brewmaster that knew how to brew the beer, yeah. And the building adapts well to a brewery.
It sure does. And you've got how many floors here?
In this area here, we have 3 floors. In this area here, there's 5 floors.
Yeah, so it's a 2-part building.
This was the brew house area. when it was a brewery. These floors were not in here. There were partial floors in here. In the center of the room, it was open to the high part of the building.
All right, so it's more open space,
yes,
is what you're saying. Yeah, well, let's go ahead.
The upper floors, and you can get an idea how big the building is.
Mark takes us up a set of wooden stairs to the second out of three floors in the main section of the building.
This was the fermenting room when it was a brewery. This was the first place the beer was put in large tanks, and it stayed here for, I think, 6 days, and then it was pumped down into the caves.
And how big, how many square feet do you think you would call this area for the fermenting room?
Let's see. This is about 30 by 65, 2,000 square feet.
And now we're going up the stairs?
Yes. This floor was not in here. This was also part of the fermenting room.
Oh, so this was the open air area?
Yes. The other area was used for beer storage. Also, the second and third floor were used for case beer storage.
Was the open air area because the equipment was very large?
Yes, the tanks were very tall.
How tall do you think they would have been?
About 12 feet. I believe this is about 16 feet from the second floor up to the ceiling of the third floor.
Okay.
While on the third floor, Mark opens a door to a large and unheated room, which looks like it would be perfect for a couple of things. A horror movie set or a really cool setting for a rock concert venue. It's all open space with limestone walls and a ceiling with metal sheeting. There is a set of stairs leading to the top of the room, which is met by a walkway of sorts that wraps halfway around the room itself.
Again, this is part of the brew house. Started up there, there was a big water tank. Water was pumped up there, heated. Then it went into a mash tank. Mash tank, it went into the big brew kettle. Then from the brew kettle, the beer was pumped over a cooler here. There was an open cooler, a system with pipes, and the beer was pumped over that to cool it. So you can see this part is very tall. It's about 50 feet to the roof peak here.
And that's all like tin roofing on the top.
Yes. The part that sheetrocked up there, we had just done that. That was an open area. There used to be skylights up there.
Oh, okay.
There are not skylights up there anymore, so we insulated it and closed it off.
We leave the room and venture out to the main part of the third floor, then down the stairs to the first floor. Mark takes us to a large room on the right-hand side of the building.
You had a bottling area specifically?
Yes.
This is that you were mentioning about before?
Yeah.
And how large is that room total, you think, for the bottling area?
Let's see. This room is 50 by 30. Again, this is a couple thousand square feet.
In here, you have joists that are, was it 3 inches?
3 inches by 12 inches, and they're spaced 1 foot apart. So these rooms are very well constructed.
They could take a beating.
Yes.
Because they had to hold the beer, you said.
Yes, they would carry a lot of weight. You can see the big stone pillars in here. Building is very well built.
And what do you think the ultimate reason was that you decided to close the brewery?
In the 60s, Ham's beer and Grain Belt beer came on very strong. They could afford to do a lot of advertising, and at that time, if you didn't drink Hams or Grain Belt, you weren't anybody.
And so, really?
Yes.
I didn't know. Yeah. Okay. Now, is that a local beer, too, for Minnesota, or was that just...
It was, yes. But now, again, the local beers are popular, and the large breweries are not as popular as the regional breweries.
Well, this is cool. You found your own little niche. How many people get to say that they get to own the building that they used to work in? You know what I mean?
A big thank you goes to Mark Zimmerman of Sugarloaf Antiques and Crafts for taking us on our adventure today through the years of the old Boobs Brewery building. You've been listening to Don't You Know?
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know? Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.